All right. So is your pole class more conditioning today?
Yeah. But, you know, when you go in with 3 or 4 hours of sleep, it's always a real treat to see what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, I imagine so. I mean, I just, even on 5 or 6 hours of sleep, sometimes I'm just like, I don't have the, like, brain arm function to do this right now. Like, I just...
I thought you were gonna say, I don't have the will to live.
I mean, that's kind of day to day.
Yeah.
By a thread.
I got matching band-aids for my flu and COVID booster.
Oh.
Like, yeah. And they kind of match my hair, too, because they're green.
Let me pop you out.
Don't pop me out.
I'm gonna pop you out. It's too late. You've already been popped.
So I feel like.
You've already been popped out.
Cat's fighting.
I was like, was that a duck?
No, it was Steve going, meh.
Yeah. The cat makes a lot more sense than a duck in your house, yeah. As far as I know.
For now. Maybe one day I'll get to the homesteading point of chicken and ducks.
In your house, though?
Look, don't judge me.
All right.
If Joey Tribbiani could have a duck in his apartment, I can have a duck in my house.
I don't know. It's the mess for me. Like people who have, like, goats and like, little cows and stuff that live in their house. I'm like, can they be, like,
house-trained? They shit everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, or do you put a diaper on them? Do they just shit everywhere? Yeah, like, what is the...
I don't know.
What do you do with this?
I don't think I would let them have, like, full run of the house. I'd be like, you get to be in this room today, and if you shit in this room, I'm just prepared for that.
Well, because I know, like, when my uncle had a sulfur-crested cockatoo, and sometimes it would just poop, but then sometimes it would, like, alert you.
It would, like, know better.
Yeah, it would want to go back to its cage, and so you could take it there, and then it would poop, and then it would want, like, back to hang out again. You know, like people.
Yeah.
Want to go into their cage and poop, and then come back out and hang out. Okay.
I don't have any arguments for that.
Oh, what an intro. All right. So welcome to The Strange and Unusual, where we discuss The Strange and Unusual. This is episode 169. Nice. Of our series, Seeking Out the Weird, the Unexplained, and the Devious from Around the World. I'm Roya.
And I'm Casey.
And this week, we will be exploring a strange time in history where Europe was learning to trust the potato.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see if this is the story I think it is, but I don't know where in Europe you're talking about.
It probably is the story you're thinking, I bet. You know your history.
Well, if it's the German story, then I definitely know where we're going today.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a goof.
Yeah. So, as always, you can find us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, you know, whatever. I don't know. Some places it has both. It's going through a phase.
Yeah.
You know, it's going through it's finding itself.
I think it's going to die soon, because I also heard recently that they're going to get rid of the, like, reposting or liking things. I'm like, well, then what's
the point?
So.
And then I've heard that Elon was talking about charging people, like, a monthly fee to use it.
Yep.
At one point. And I'm like, no one's.
I'm not paying that.
Yeah.
I'm barely on it now.
I'm literally just on it because I'm streaming, and that's where, like, all of the streamers still are. Like,
that sounds like a shitty community to be a part of. Streamers need to get woke.
Well, so some are starting to go to Blue Sky, and some are starting to go to Threads. But it's just, it's an easy communication platform.
Yeah.
Where, and it's been so long established that the algorithm is actually pretty solid in what content you're getting for the most part. Granted, you know, like, Elon just says, you're gonna look at my post now, and then, you know, whatever. But, like, everyone almost that's on my timeline, or whatever you want to call it, my stream, is, like, in line with a streamer content or things that I'm, like, enjoying. So I can understand why people are still on it, being one of them. But I definitely hope that there is a better alternative that comes out that people move over to. Blue Sky seems pretty cool so far.
I am... While this is all happening, I'm kind of like, maybe this is good. Maybe it's good that this is dying and I'm leaving all the social media.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not on them a ton. I just check up, because a couple of the communities and stuff and groups I'm part of, like, you have to have a place to have the community communicate, and not everybody has jumped onto Discord yet, so it makes it a little bit harder. But anyway, you can find us on social media. We're all over the place. It'll be at the end of the episode in more detail, as well as in the show notes. And we also have a Patreon at patreon.com/strangeunusual. We actually have a poll that has just recently closed that Casey's going to be covering in the next week's episode.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to get into some, I guess, some wee-woos. It's not that bad. So wee-woos. Europe. Royalty. Crimes. Famine. Colonialism. And white people discovering things that already existed.
Yep. Sounds about right.
So since this is a food podcast and we've all accepted this, we're going to take another episode to talk about food.
There we go.
There are different kinds of foods that one would consider staple foods around the world. Asia, for example, uses rice in a lot of different forms and styles all across the continent. North America uses a lot of corn or maize, plantains in South America, and yams and cassava in Africa to make fufu. And Europe, potatoes. So how did potatoes, a plant that was domesticated 7 to 10,000 years ago, only introduced into Europe in the 16th century, become such a staple food?
Well, they go really well with coney, some nice chips, and then with a piece of fish. Trying to do my best gam.
That's not raw and wriggling.
Yeah, I like to do my best Samwise Gamgee here for you, but I'm running on 3 hours of sleep.
Elise is watching Fellowship right now in the living room.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
So let's start with how the potato made it to Europe in the first place. So a Spanish explorer, quote unquote, you know, a conquistador, Gonzalo Jimenez de Quesada, returned from South America in 1565 with the vegetable. He was one of those assholes searching for El Dorado that, you know, probably never existed. And the connection to the original roots, but of the vegetable are even.
Wow. Okay. What? That's some me shit. I'm not used to hearing that shit from you.
But so the roots of the vegetable are even still in the name we use in English, potato, coming from the Spanish term patata. There's some suggestion that Walter Raleigh and Francis Drake, whom evidently my family is related to, allegedly, I don't know, I've never been able to trace it back that far. That's what Mom always said. But they were responsible for the suggestion is that they were responsible for the potato in Europe, but their expedition didn't actually happen until 1578. By the time that Francis Drake and Walter Raleigh returned from their expedition back, like, potatoes were readily available in Spanish marketplaces already. But we do have them to thank for tobacco, though, I guess, and the popularization of that in Europe.
Great.
And actually, Raleigh almost royally fucked the potatoes over when he brought them to be prepared for Queen Elizabeth in 1586, but the kitchen staff didn't know what to do with the vegetables because they had never seen them before. And so they cooked the flowers and then threw the potatoes away.
Oh.
And anyone who knows about potato preparation safety, plants in general, or history probably knows that potatoes are part of the nightshade family and the plants and flowering parts are toxic.
Yeah.
So it's fair to say that the potatoes didn't end up being quite the gift Walter Raleigh wanted them to be.
Well, I mean, it's so weird. Like, I don't know what the food history timeline of this is. Like, turnips, carrots, beets. Like, they know how to use root vegetables, so.
Yeah, I don't know why they weren't just like, oh, the round part.
Yeah.
Maybe we do something with that. Like, this big chunk in my hand.
The big fat bit.
Yeah. No, let me cook the tiny, delicate flowers on it.
That are going to kill people. Clearly.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm like, were flowers a big part of the diet of royals at the time? Like, I know you could eat dandelions and stuff, but, like, Were they just eating flowers so commonly that it's like, oh yeah, it's probably the flower part that yep. that they eat.
I don't know. I got nothing.
But due to I don't know. I'm always curious about the like who was the first guy to try a tomato, like having seen like
I think that about artichokes.
If we eat the green part, we get really sick. But what about that red part? What if we eat that instead?
I think that about artichokes all the time. Like, who looked at this?
Oh, and pineapple?
Went, who the fuck looked at this thing and went, let's eat it?
Yeah. Pineapple?
Yep.
Coconut? Like, so much work to get in a coconut. Or, like, the first person who popped open a durian and was just like, what is this garbage? Oh,
this smells delicious. Let me eat it.
And granted, I have heard that durian, like, in Asia is a lot different than the durian that gets imported to us, because in the time that it imports, it overripens. But, like, even the candy, Elise's aunt is Filipino, and she brought home some candy and some snacks and stuff from her visit. And Elise brought out, like, this durian chocolate for me to try. And I was just like, okay, so that was hands down the worst chocolate I've ever had.
Yeah.
But, like, I understand what durian tastes like now.
Yeah.
I would never want to eat it again, though. Like, it's just not a flavor I grew up with or around, so my brain is just like, no, that tastes like how garbage smells. And, like, and I know that that's a cultural thing for me. Yeah, I'm sure, like, that if I grew up around, it's like eating offal. Or, like, intestines or, you know, different parts of the animal that we don't normally eat here in the U.S. are so common in other areas of the world to be eaten.
Yeah, I always think that, like, I don't want to ever say something that's, like, offensive to someone about what they eat culturally. Like, I no longer partake in eating squid and octopus because I just know too much about them now. Like, I know how they have little feelings and how they, like, are so smart, and I don't feel right about it. So, but I'm not going, ew, gross, I can't believe you eat that, to the entire, like, Southeast Asia, like, and any port,
in Italy,
port and, city where people eat these things as a part of their diet, because I understand it comes from a cultural place. I will judge people for shark fin, though.
Oh, yeah. Any kind of, like, mammal or shark or anything that is knowingly endangered or at risk, I'm like, stop it.
Yeah, stop. Gross. That shit.
Leave it alone.
Like, I understand there's a big tuna market. Maybe leave those fucking tuna alone.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let them build back up. We can start eating them again in a few years.
Yeah.
So leave them alone for a few years.
Like, just give them some time.
Yeah.
But no, we can't do that.
But I feel similarly about, like, veal and foie gras.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, foie gras can get fucked.
Yeah, like, how the animals are treated is a big aspect of that to me. And, like, I know how they're treated, and I just can't get over that step for myself at all.
I mean, if we go down that rabbit hole, like, I wouldn't eat any. I've been doing so, I mean, you already know I'm, like, on this big kick of, like, trying to spend more consciously, but, like, I do try to not buy mass-produced meats, and, like, I've been trying to do more ethical farming situations, doing a lot of farmer's market sort of stuff. It's expensive, though. So,
no, like, that was, like, the, I saw a post the other day that was, like, talking about this plate of food that was, like, just kind of junk food, like bag of chips and like a hamburger or something and a soda and something else, and talking about how this is like 1,000 calories or 5,000 calories or however much, and then this giant plate or picture of all of this like avocado toast and this like all white omelet and all this fruit and all these vegetables and all that blah blah blah, and it's like, this is the same amount of calories. And like, and then the top comment on it was like, yeah, but what are the costs?
Yeah, like, we that plate, the good-looking plate is, you know, $10. That bag of chips and whatever is $5, you know.
If that, yeah. Like, and it's wild to think about, like, yeah, that's why. It's not just poor nutritional education for people. It's also, like, the fact that food is so fucking expensive that people just can't afford to buy the kind of food that we should be eating.
We're getting so off track, but I do want to... I do want to mention this. Have you watched Dollar Tree Dinners?
Uh-uh.
This bitch I love watching. I like, I don't need this content. Clearly, I'm talking.
I think I've seen a TikTok or something. She's the one that goes in and does like.
She's like, I'm going to do a week's worth of meals for $20 from the Dollar Tree. And she like goes in and she buys shit from the Dollar Tree and just makes these like, you know, she makes meals that look and taste good. And like people just comment all the time. This is so unhealthy. Like all those processed foods. It was like some people, this is all they can afford. And I would rather people have ways to make delicious and as nutritious as possible foods, like, than go hungry.
Rather than going in and taking that $1.98 or whatever and getting a burger from McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, that
you can get a pack of burgers from the Dollar Tree freezer for a dollar, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's not going to hit nearly the nutritional value.
And yeah, so it's just, I think because coming from a poor home, I just get such a like therapy from like watching her make this food. And like she obviously doesn't need to do it, but that's one of her things. She's like, I came from a home where I didn't need to do this. And so I yeah. want to like help other people who maybe aren't as experienced in the kitchen learn how to use these ingredients to make things that are delicious and can go far. And I was like, I love this. This is the content I'm here for. So, but yeah, food scarcity and the fact that we are living in a, you know, global superpower and our people are starving is probably not good. Maybe fix that, guys.
Yeah. Government, we know you're listening.
Yeah. I know. Look, I definitely have somebody from the NSA watching me at this point. They're boiling them. Yeah, so, stick them in a stew.
So Walter Raleigh poisoned the queen, yep, and now we're yep. back.
sorry about that, everybody. Elevator music.
So, due to the origin of the food being from a savage country, quote unquote, their words, probably not mine. Most Europeans didn't consider the potato fit to be consumed. They used the body for animal feed sometimes, or even fully discarded the body of the vegetable and used the flowers to decorate their house.
Oh my god.
Some religious folks even said that the potato, because it was not mentioned in the Bible, it was a sin to eat it.
I mean, I feel like people say that now about avocado toast.
But it earned the potatoes a pretty sweet nickname, the devil's apple.
Aw, hell yeah.
So I encourage everyone to add that to their vernacular in talking about potatoes.
My favorite thing about potatoes is, in German it's Kartoffeln, which is just fun to say. But in French, the word for potato is pomme de terre, which means uh-huh. apple of the earth. Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
I think it's so cute.
So peasants in Spain started resorting to eating potatoes as a way to stave off famine, but a lot of the landscape of Spain is too dry to grow them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's not ideal.
Yeah, a few areas of northwest Spain, though, the conditions were perfect and the plants flourished. So it kind of gave people an idea of what type of environment the potatoes needed to be growing in. Basque fishermen used the ship stores, often used the potatoes in the ship stores, and would travel up to Ireland, which is how potatoes most likely got introduced to Ireland as well. Mm-hmm. So wheat was the driving force of European growth at the time, though, until potatoes came and started kind of shaking things up a little bit. So, see, wheat had spread through Europe and the regions from the Fertile Crescent, which is areas of modern-day Egypt, Israel, Iran, Syria, and Turkey. Basically, this area is where both the Nile River and the Tigris and Euphrates rivers have flown out and made the soil extremely fertile. So it just, that area at this time, it's no longer like that because of human involvement and just the way world works. But at the time, this area was so hyper-fertile that like just anything could grow
hyper-fertile.
And just spread.
Is a word I don't want to hear.
So wheat spread from the Fertile Crescent around 8500 BC and went westward. Wheat is a high-yield crop that's easily domesticated, harvested, and stored, and it was developed into bread wheat, which changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the crop would go on to feed peasants as well as feed kings, but also allowed farmers to grow it at such a high rate that they were able to grow a surplus and then trade it.
Hmm.
However, the reliance on one plant for huge amounts of the population is never a good idea.
Yeah. No, that's no bueno.
Yeah, once it's processed and stored, it can be easily stolen or destroyed by enemies or, you know, seized by your government, which definitely isn't going to come into play later.
Oh, okay, great.
So the potato could fill in an important role within the European diet at the time. They were cheaper, they required less prep work in production to eat it, as well as provided twice the caloric yield per acre that wheat did.
Yeah, and probably more nutritious, like,
yeah,
overall nutritional value.
Overall nutrition. My thing is, I think my kind of theory as to why it took potatoes so long to take off was because they didn't know how to prepare them.
I was like, they didn't have butter.
Yeah, well, or they didn't understand, like, how long they needed to cook it. So they're either, like, overcooking it or undercooking it or trying to not cook it and eating it raw. And raw potatoes were kind of gross.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't, potatoes themselves don't have a ton of flavor. Like, just a plain boiled or baked potato.
Dairy.
There is flavor, there's just not a ton. Like, when you're looking comparatively to, like, a carrot, you know?
But here's the thing. I used to say that about water. Like, water doesn't taste like anything. But if you taste water, you're like, that's water.
Mm.
So, potato, like, if you taste a plain potato, you'd be like, that's potato. So, yeah. It does have taste. It's just...
Yeah, I'm saying it doesn't have, like, it's not potato on its own. Is not super flavorful, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
You need the, like, salt or butter or a topping
you
or
mean
fry
it's not
it
enjoyable.
Or something. Yeah, it's not tasty. Okay. Like, why would you, if you had the choice between, like, an uncooked potato and a piece of bread and you're a peasant.
Look, I work.
You're probably going to pick the bread.
One of my coworkers is vegan and she would come up and put a whole ass potato in the microwave and then just eat it like a burrito. Like, I would see her with a paper towel or something wrapped around the bottom of it and just eating it. And I was like, you don't put no salt or nothing on it. And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, Maddie.
I mean, I know that was, to get off topic again, whatever. That was the way that Kevin Smith lost all, when he lost like 200 pounds or whatever.
Potatoes?
Yeah, he just ate potatoes,
what
just like plain
lunatic.
Potatoes. And yeah, and I was just like, what? Whatever. It worked. Like, and I think he's back into like, no, I mean, he also had a massive heart attack and was like going through like some, that's why he lost all the weight, why he felt
Got
that
it.
He needed to, and to fix his diet was because he had like a super massive like life. But no, I think he's back into like a regular diet now, so he looks a little bit better. But yeah, it was such a drastic change.
It was. I was just like, I'm scared for this guy.
I felt the same way with Adele. I was like,
she didn't.
I thought
she looks okay. I don't like to judge other people's bodies, but it was just like the thing that I understood what she was doing it for, but it hurt me because it felt like you were so talented and great at what you were doing, and like, you still felt the need to go through this.
Yeah, to kowtow.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Anyway, sorry.
No, it's okay. I agree.
Do what you want with your body.
So,
don't let me discourage you if you're on a journey. I just, at the time, I needed a fat woman role model. And then I got Lizzo, and Lizzo fucked me too.
But yeah, so potatoes, they were cheaper. They required less prep work. And like we were saying, provide twice the caloric count, caloric yield per acre that wheat does.
Yes.
So the potato came into the central Mediterranean area around 1560, starting in the Po Valley of Italy. And as soldiers moved across Europe from Italy to the Rhineland, modern day Germany, they brought potatoes with them and just sort of like dropped them along the way. So there's just like potatoes everywhere because potatoes just continue to just produce.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made sense that people would be suspicious of this new strange food. Religious leaders were saying that it's the devil's apple and all this, but the fears would soon be outweighed by the potato's ability to keep a family alive while war ravaged the continent and the military was seizing the wheat, whether or not the local population relied on the grain for survival. If something didn't change, starvation would be imminent in the Rhineland area. So what happened? Who was the potatoes PR person that Trump wishes he had 5 years ago? Enter the Prussian king, Frederick the Great.
Freddy.
Also known as the Potato King.
Love him. Well, I mean, I don't because he's awful, but...
Yeah. I mean, this part's not awful.
Well, yeah, but I'm in general.
So he realized the relief that the potatoes carried with them and how he could save a lot of lives if he could get peasants to switch to potatoes from grain. So he organized the distribution of free seeds throughout Prussia with instructions on how to grow them. And on March 24th, 1756, Frederick the Great issued his potato order. It's first of 15 different orders relating to potatoes.
Love that.
Saying, quote, "You are to make the benefit of planting this crop clear to the lords and subjects, and advise them to undertake the planting of potatoes this early year as a very nutritious food. Wherever there is empty space, the potato should be cultivated, since this fruit is not only very useful to use, but also so productive that the effort put into it is very well rewarded." End quote. The problem was, people just still weren't sold on the potatoes.
Yeah.
So, just for an example of the reliance on wheat at the time, to give kind of a perspective on why he's feeling this stress to get the general population off of wheat as much as they can. So a Prussian soldier's portion of bread was 1 kilogram. To bake 100 kilograms of bread, you would have to take 75 kilograms of flour with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then, for an army with an entitlement of 100,000 portions of bread daily,
mm-hmm.
well, that's over 70,000 kilograms of flour. About 77 tons.
That's a lot of flour.
Yeah. And that wasn't even including the meat, spirits, and vegetables associated with meals either. So, like I said, it becomes clear why, in desperation, the military was seizing flour from the villages. I'm not saying that that was right by any means, but I can get why they probably needed more.
Yeah.
So Frederick was facing off with both the French and Russian armies during the Seven Years' War, which is a throwback to last week's episode. And the French established a blockade on grain imports, straining an already tenuous reliance on wheat. So enter the potato again. While it wasn't necessarily easier to transport potatoes than it was flour, the alternative crop for the peasants meant freeing up more of the grain for the soldiers while not leaving the peasants to starve.
Right.
And potatoes grow super fast and reproduce really quickly, so you're not having the same wait times that you would with grain.
I do want to say real quick, I need to apologize to Frederick because I was confusing him with Joseph.
Okay. I was like, so. I thought Frederick, from everything I read, unless this was some Frederick the Great propaganda, he seemed pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm thinking Joseph in Austria. He's a kind of a douche noozle. Noozle? Nozzle. Whatever.
Douche noozle.
Douche noozle.
The Gongoozler. Douche noozle. So Frederick's great-grandfather, Elector Frederick William, brought the potato to Prussia, where it was used as an ornamental plant. They thought that it was just kind of pretty, and just, he gave it to his wife, Louise Henriette, and she just started growing potatoes in her estate for some time before she realized that it was actually edible and delicious. And then, as long as they were properly prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So potatoes were introduced to the Berlin Palace Garden for consumption around 1655, but it took much longer to go from there to the kitchen table of peasants. So like I said, the potato order on March 24th, 1756 started this. The first order was to increase the crops for consumption in general. Tim Blanning, who's the author of the biography entitled Just Frederick the Great, noted about the king, quote, "On one special concern, almost an obsession, was the promotion of the potato as a field crop. This was eminently sensible, for the potato was European agriculture's most powerful weapon in breaking an age-old overdependence on grain as the staple crop."
Hmm.
It has been estimated that in the 18th century, the yield of the potato per acre was 10.5 times higher than wheat, and 9.6 times higher than rye, which more than compensated for its lower caloric value.
Nice.
To put that statistic another way, the net caloric value of a potato is 3.6 times that of grain. It has been estimated that 10 square meters of land would produce 500 kilocalories of meat, 2,000 in cereals, 6,300 in cabbage, and 7,200 in potatoes. So, moving Prussia into a more modern sensibility had been one of Frederick's lifelong goals. He was working to transform the kingdom into an economically strong and politically reformed state. Policies on agricultural reform were integral to the elevation of the country and his subjects in his eyes. Frederick saw the obvious importance of agriculture on his kingdom and took a particular interest in it, with quotes like, "True wealth is only what the earth produces." And also, agriculture is the first of all arts.
That's cute.
So, during Frederick's rule, around 1,000 new villages were established, and over 300,000 new people came to the land. Around 150,000 acres of new farmland was made through the drainage program of a marshland, and farmers were advised to grow potatoes and turnips. But the peasants still weren't interested in having potatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Frederick started a propaganda campaign to promote the crop, and even coined the phrase, potatoes instead of truffles, but it didn't catch on.
No, I don't think that doesn't really have a ring to it.
maybe it sounds better in German, I don't know.
Kartoffeln, yeah, I don't know the rest.
The town of Kohlberg officially responded to the king's order to grow potatoes by saying, quote, "The things have neither smell nor taste, not even the dogs will eat them, so what use are they to us?"
quote. Wow.
So while history at times is a bit cloudy in the details, this is the most often repeated stories about Frederick's ambition for the potato. So he's looking at things, and he just decides to use just a little reverse psychology as a treat to increase interest in the potatoes. So he decreed that the potatoes were now a royal vegetable, and by order of the king, his soldiers were to plant potatoes in the royal fields, and no one could have them.
Yep, this dude knows what's up.
Except they could.
Yep.
He had the potatoes lightly guarded, encouraging the guards to lazily walk around the perimeter, even accept bribes, and release anyone they happened to catch stealing the potatoes, if All they right. even did.
You stole potatoes this time, but next time you're not going to get off so easy. Except yeah. for what you are.
But it worked. Yes, the secret ingredient that Frederick was missing was, in fact, crime.
Hmm.
Okay. Adding the potatoes to the peasants' diet alone wouldn't work for the success of the rebranding, though. So he began to serve numerous courses with a variety of preparations and consuming them in front of his guests. So he was having nobility, he was having important people over, and they were always eating fucking potatoes. Tons of potatoes.
That guy must have been so fucking sick of potatoes by the end.
I think he loved potatoes. I think he was so into potatoes. I mean, like, they're a super...
They're a superfood?
No. There's a lot of applications for potatoes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to prepare them, and a lot of different things you can do with them that all end up tasting very different, or serving a very different purpose in the dish. So I can kind of get it.
Maybe they're doing like a potato toddy, like...
He also didn't stop adding and changing things about the agriculture of Prussia at the time. He ordered his subjects to drink beer instead of coffee to protect the brewing industry as well as a means to remain self-sufficient, because the coffee had to be imported, but they were brewing their own beer locally in Prussia.
Mm.
Mulberry trees were also planted in order to obtain silk to lessen the need for imported fabrics and textiles.
Would you like to know how to say beer in German?
Sure.
Beer.
Would you like to know how to say beer in Japanese?
Is it biro?
Biru.
Biru.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's just like, what's a hamburger is like hamburger-o or something.
Hambugu.
Hambugu.
I think so.
I remember there are like things that are just English, but just a little bit not.
Yeah. Because they have to make it fit into their letters. So it just changes a little bit. But yeah, so while he was working diligently at home to move Prussia into the modern age, he had a keen eye for the agricultural needs, but he was first and foremost a military strategist, and a good one.
Yeah.
For the last decade of his life, he would embark on a campaign that would see the potato he had fought so hard for to bring into the spotlight, used to its maximum capacity. So this is when he was like in his 60s, he was like 66. And he didn't really so much lead as he did kind of advise, but it led to Austria finally pulling out of Bohemia, I think.
Okay.
And I have all of my things are closed now. I moved on to my other episode. I forgot. But yeah, so it resulted in Austria finally pulling back and saying like, okay, we're done fucking with you for right now. You guys can have it. And so the potatoes contain way more nutritional value, allowing the soldiers to spend more time in the field and ensure tactical advantage. So no matter where the Austrian troops were going, the Prussians were like already there because they didn't have to stop and make all the bread and do all the steps in order to feed their soldiers for the night. They were already ready to go. Because the thing with the downside to bread at the time for these, the wars and different things like that, especially at this time, is that you couldn't make it ahead.
Right.
You had to take the ingredients with you because the bread would spoil.
Yep.
Before you got to the, like, the bottom of the wagon.
And taters last forever.
Okay. Yeah, potatoes last forever. And the other thing, too, is whenever they were running low on food, because potatoes had just been, like, left everywhere over mm-hmm. the years, they just had to, like, dig under the soil a little bit, and then they were just finding potatoes again. And so, and they, any wars that happened in the winter, they didn't have to worry as much either because the frost very rarely reached where the potatoes were. And if they did, they were still edible. They just weren't quite as good,
mm-hmm.
But they were still totally fine to eat. But the potatoes that Frederick fought to introduce to save his people saved them for years and sustained the troops through a war that would go on to be known as the Potato War. Because the soldiers reportedly did more foraging than they did fighting.
I gotta tell you, my brain's not working today. I gotta apologize to Joseph. Because it's not him either.
Who is it?
I don't know who I'm thinking about, but I was like, that guy's a dick. Because I even looked, the other Frederick that I was thinking of, that was the guy who only was a king for like not even 100 days and died of throat cancer. Like, he didn't do anything. I can't remember who the fuck I'm thinking about, but I'm like, fuck that one guy in particular, and I'm gonna blame everybody else throughout the podcast. So don't listen to me. I'm a terrible history teacher. The end.
So you can visit Frederick the Great's grave.
Hell yeah. Is it shaped like a potato?
No, at Sanssouci Palace in Potsdam, Germany. Just make sure to take a few potatoes to leave there because that is the custom.
Oh, fun.
There's just like people... Like how people leave sticks at the grave of that dog, or like people will leave like books of poetry and stuff at different poets' graves and things like that, or shiny rocks at different people's and all those kinds of things. So potatoes, you bring potatoes to Frederick the Great's grave.
I want to leave a pound of butter at Julia Child's grave.
I feel like she'd appreciate that.
She would.
Oh, I would love butter.
Next episode, I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you all what king I was thinking of that I was pissed off at this whole episode and did nothing. This poor guy did nothing wrong. Well, I mean,
neither.
He was a monarch at the time. But Joseph, I was like, oh man, it had to be Joseph, right? No, Joseph was the guy who was like, I'm going to get rid of serfdom and I'm going to like try to modernize the Catholic Church. And then as soon as he died, everybody was like, hey, fuck those policies. Turn them all back. Serfs forever. And I'm like, God, who the fuck am I thinking about? I'll have to research.
I'm sure there's a long list of terrible monarchs in Europe.
I mean, yes.
That did horrible things.
Objectively, yes. But I can't think of who it is I'm thinking of and what they did wrong right now.
Yeah, it'll come to you. And then you're going to start off next week's episode just like shouting someone's name with no context.
As soon as I think of it, I'm going to put it right at the start of my notes. Or I'll put it in the intro.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Thanks for telling me about the potato.
You're welcome.
I'm a potato.
I'm a potato.
I think if I was a vegetable, I might be a sweet potato. No, I'm not a sweet potato.
I don't know what kind of vegetable I would be.
I think I would be a potato that's like a little, it's been sitting on the counter for a little too long and it's getting a little green and you should probably throw it away.
You're the potato that got like forgotten in the back of the cabinet and has now sprouted and taken over the cabinet.
If you don't think we are replanting the sprouts of our old potatoes, you are wrong. Hopefully they do better this year than they did last year.
But yeah. I just want to be able to have a little garden. I want to have a little garden so bad.
Soon, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, anyway, thanks for joining us today. can we? Okay, thank you. Sorry, your little, you had clicked after vegetable and your name popped up over the outro, so I couldn't read what it said. Sorry. Thanks for joining us today for our discussion on whether or not potatoes are a trustworthy vegetable. And now we want to hear from you. Send us your stories, your questions, and your feedback to strangeunusualpodcast@gmail.com. And if you are going to send us a story, we just ask that you put listener story in the subject line so that we can sort through those a little more easily. Do you have a history with potatoes? Do you have a good potato recipe?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever accidentally eaten the plant part of a potato and gotten sick?
Have you ever had Mormon funeral potatoes?
No. I've heard they're good.
Yeah, I've heard they're good, too. Send us your recipes.
Mormons, send us your recipes.
You're definitely listening to this podcast. Yeah. We've only had good things to say.
After all the... Oh, my God. Speaking of Mormons, I've been watching Sister Wives.
Yeah, yep.
Cody Brown fucking sucks.
Yep.
This last season, I'm just like, you're a true villain, my guy.
I told you I've given up on... That's another... Add it to my list of things I don't do now. Is watch, because I found out how shitty they treat those people after, well, during and after the shows. Like, absolutely not. They need a union. Yeah. Unionize people.
You can also find us on Instagram and Threads at strange_unusual_podcasts, or our personal accounts, Roy Rampage and Calamity Casey. You can find us on X at _strangeunusual, at Calamity Casey and at Roy Rampage. We're also on Facebook to search for the Strange and Unusual podcast and look for our little logo. I am also streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/RoyRampage. Love to see you guys stop by, talk about episodes, talk about whatever. You can also join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/strangeunusual. Like I said at the top of the episode, we just had a poll wrap up that will be coming out next week when you're hearing this episode. And so we have those that happen once a month. We have access to a Discord where we chat, talk about episodes, keep up to date on some of the cases that we've covered that are more current, like Lori Vallow, and we talked a little bit about Lucy Letby and different things like that. So there is that, all that access. There's also some old bonus episodes on Patreon that are still up if you just can't get enough of us in a weekly situation.
That's right.
But if you can't afford to support us right now, we totally get it. Like we were just saying, kind of in the middle of the episode, shit's fucking expensive, so I get it. But if you can, you know, if you can just like, share, subscribe, rate, review, share us with your potato lovers anonymous group, share us with your friends, your enemies, your neighbors, whoever, play us loudly from your car as you drive down the highway. I won't judge you. And if you leave a 5-star review and let me know about it, if it's not on Apple Podcasts, I will read it on air, even if it's mean.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not if it's racist.
Yeah. Like, the what, two fat bitches talking about potatoes, big shock, 5 stars.
I swear to God, if they don't talk about true crime, murder, or mysteries soon.
Look, I'm really pleased with not having to research murderers right now. So I'm just going to keep going on my thing.
Yeah. I'll cover the true crime.
Brings me joy to not have to read about people being super terrible.
Yeah, I'm about to have two episodes of mine in a row that are not going to be about murders. I'm shocked.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a well-deserved nap.
Yeah, super nap.
Did my dance, got stabbed in the arms, and now it's time for bed.
Yep. Past time for bed. Bye.